We're continuing in Parashat Vayera. Today is Sunday, July 1st. And we are on page 96. And here we are going to have the episode of Yishmael and his mother Hagar being thrown out of the house. Yitzchak was born. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And he was weaned. And now we have the episode of the bad influence of Yishmael and Sarah telling Abraham to throw Yishmael and Hagar out of the house. And Hashem telling Abraham that he should listen to Sarah and to do that, to throw them out of the house. Now, tonight's class is going to build on our first discussion of Yishmael and Hagar, which was back in Parashat Lech Lecha, when we talked about Yishmael's birth. So let me give a quick recap of that class. I expect you all to remember it as if it were yesterday. So let me give a quick recap, and then we'll continue with tonight's class. We had discussed with Yishmael's birth that the original plan when Sarah told Abraham to take Hagar as a pilegesh, as a concubine, was to follow the same model that will happen later in history when Rachel and then Leah tell their husband Yaakov to take their maids, Bilhah and then Zilpah, as his wives. And Yaakov does. And as you know, we have 12 tribes in Judaism. 8 were born from Rachel and from Leah, 6 from Leah, 2 from Rachel. But then, Bilhah and Zilpah, the maids, also each had 2 sons. So 4 of the 12 tribes come from the maids, Bilhah and Zilpah. Over there, the system worked successfully. And the idea was and is that the children would be raised by Rachel and Leah, not by Bilhah and Zilpah. Bilhah and Zilpah, of course, contributed, but that Rachel and Leah would be the main mothers. Bilhah and Zilpah would act as surrogates for the birth. And in that way, we say, for example, that we have 4 matriarchs. We have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. But fully 1/3 of the Jewish people don't come from Rachel or Leah. They come from Bilhah and Zilpah. Yet we don't refer to Bilhah and Zilpah as matriarchs, because Bilhah and Zilpah followed the pattern the way they should. They followed the system the way they should, which is that they were fully subservient to their mistresses, to Rachel and to Leah. And when they gave birth, they understood from the outset that Rachel and Leah were in fact the main wives, the main mothers. And therefore, their children are no less part of the Jewish people than the other 8. And their children refer to Rachel and Leah as their own matriarchs. Even if you come, for example, from the tribe of Dan, who comes from Bilhah, you still refer to Rachel and Leah as your matriarchs, and not to Bilhah and Zilpah. In fact, if you come from Rachel, you're from Binyamin, you come from Rachel, you still refer to Leah as one of your matriarchs. We have 4 matriarchs, every single one of us. We as Klal Yisrael are considered to come from 4 matriarchs. And that was the model that Bilhah and Zilpah fit into and did appropriately. And that worked perfectly. Hagar was meant to do a similar thing, as we mentioned it back then, it's about 2 months ago when we discussed this, that Sarah's intent was, and Abraham's as well, that Hagar would be subservient to Sarah, which she had been until that point, and that she would act as a surrogate in giving birth to a son, and that boy would be raised by Sarah and would in some way be part of the Jewish people. And that was the plan. We pointed out then that Hagar made a fatal error in that when she got pregnant right away, she jumped to conclusions that Sarah, who appears to be righteous, must not be so righteous. Because if she were really righteous, why doesn't she get pregnant right away? And therefore, Hagar threw off the yoke of her mistress, Sarah. And if you recall, Sarah complained to Abraham And Abraham told Sarah, do as you please, do as you see fit. Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar. We pointed out then that the reason why Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar was because she was trying to make the plan work, to get it back on track, which is to make Hagar subservient to her, because if Hagar would be subservient to Sarah, then Hagar's unborn son and Hagar herself would be considered part of the Jewish people in some form or other. We said back then we don't know exactly what would have been the form of connection to the Jewish people, but Hagar and her unborn son would have been in some way connected to us. But Hagar refused to accept the yoke of Sarah and ran away. Subsequently, she also miscarried that unborn son. The angels appeared to her then and told her that they referred to her as Shivchas Sarah, the maid of Sarah. They told her to go back, and you should be afflicted under the hands of Sarah. You should go back. That's where you belong. And then they told her, you're going to have a son, and he will be a wild man, and he will be named Yishmael, and he will be dependent on everybody else, but also everybody else will be dependent on him, which ensures his long-term survival, because everybody's going to be dependent on him just as he will be dependent on everybody else. But he will be a contentious man. He will not have a peaceful life. We pointed out back then that had Hagar refused to go back, she had already made a grave error in leaving in the first place. But had she refused to go back, then her son, whoever the son would be, his name wouldn't be Yishmael, but her offspring would be inconsequential in history. She would be gone, out. There would be no reference to Hagar's offspring in history. There would be some Egyptian family. That's it. It would be totally inconsequential. But she did go back, and she was willing to accept the yoke of Sarah, and as a result, she did have Yishmael. And even though Yishmael was not the original son that she was supposed to have from Abraham, and even though because of her first error, she and her son Yishmael do not merit to be a close part of the Jewish people, but that was far better than the alternative. Because now, although Yishmael, as we pointed out back then, gives us a great deal of trouble, and many of his offspring are evil, but we know that Yishmael himself did teshuvah before Abraham died. And we know, therefore, that the Ishmaelim, who seem to be the Arabs, have, therefore, some degree of closeness to Hashem that is not shared by the rest of the world. And even though they are definitely far, and they are definitely currently acting in a very evil way, but there is potential there that others do not have. And this is symbolic of the fact that Ishmael did teshuvah at the end of Abraham's life. That's what we said back then. Now, Abraham and Sarah know this. They know that Yishmael is not going to be a major part of the future of the Jewish people. They know this. They know that the original plan had been that Hagar's son would have had some strong connection to the Jewish people, maybe even be part of the Jewish people, I don't know. But that was gone. That never happened. That never materialized. But Yishmael does have some role to play, some connection. And the question is, what connection? Neither Abraham nor Sarah know. Now they are raising their children, Yitzchak and also Yishmael, and the question is how to deal with Yishmael. So that's where we pick up the story right now. Now that Yitzchak is born. So, starting with Pasuk Tes, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian that she gave birth to Abraham, Mitzachek. Mitzachek means scorning. How do they translate over
mocking.
Here?
Mocking.
Okay, mocking. So she saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian. Why is she called Hagar the Egyptian?
She was.
Do we not know that? Why is that pointed out to us here?
Good luck in
the okay, because in this regard, she was raising her son more like an Egyptian. And she saw that he was mocking. Our sages point out that mocking, this word mitzachek, which is also the same root as yitzchak, which could mean to laugh, which could mean to laugh it with tears, with happiness, with praise to Hashem. But mitzachek can also have a very negative connotation. This is in stark contrast.
Playing or making sport.
Okay, playing or making sport. Our sages tell us it has the connotation of the three cardinal sins. It has, in its connotation, has idolatry, it has immorality, and murder. All three can be expressed with this word mitzachek. Vatomer l'Avraham, she said, said to Avraham, Goresh ha'amah hazos ve'esbinah, chase away this maid and her son. Ki lo yirash ben ha'amah hazos, for the son of this maid will not inherit im bini with my son, im Yitzchak with Yitzchak. Vayera ha'davar ma'od b'ne Avraham, the matter was very bad in the eyes of Avraham, alo dos b'no, on the matter of his son. Vayomer Elohim al Avraham, and God said to Avraham, al yera be'inecha, it should not be bad in your eyes, al ha'na'ar ve'al ha'masecha, on the lad and on your maid. Kol asher tomar elecha Sara, all that Sarah says to you, shema b'kola, listen to her voice, ki v'yitzchak, for in Yitzchak yikarei lecha Zara, it will be called for you seed. It is from here that we derive, our sages derive, that Sarah was a greater prophetess than Avraham, that her prophecy was on a higher level than Avraham, for Hashem says to Avraham, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Meaning, she has figured out what I intend better than you have. So for all of Abraham's greatness, and he was great, Sarah had an advantage, apparently, in Nevuah, in prophecy. Yes?
Both women don't... There's no reference to him as the father.
Who?
Hagar says her son, the slave woman was her son.
Right.
And where is Abraham? Did he notice anything? I mean,
okay, good.
The father?
Good question. So what happened? Did Abraham not know what was going on? What is he so upset about over here? That's a good question. Is Sarah also, what is she saying, for this, the son of this maid will not inherit with my son with Yitzchak? What does that have to do with anything? Is he a bad influence? What is going on over here? Say, because he's evil. What do you mean he won't inherit with my son with Yitzchak? Is this some kind of a selfishness with my son with Yitzchak? Clearly that can't be the case. So how do we understand the exchange between Avraham and Sarah? Let's read a little bit further. Verse 13, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'gamet ben ha'amah l'goyas imenu. Hashem says to Avraham, and also the son of the maid, to a nation I shall make him. Hashem also refers to him as the son of the maid. Not your son, the son of the maid. I'll also make him into a nation. Kizan achahu, for he is your seed. Well, he's the son of the maid, but he is your seed. What is meant by this language? So what happens? By Ashkem Abraham Baboka, Abraham got up early in the morning, by Yikach Lechem, and he took bread, Vechem Asmayim, and a flask of water, by Yitain El Hagar, and he gave it to Hagar, some Al Shichma, he put it on her back, on her shoulder, Ve'et Hayelet, and the child, Vayeshalachelah, and he sent her away. Vatelech, Vatesa, she went and she wandered, but the Midbar Be'er Sheva, in the wilderness of Be'er Sheva. Our sages tell us about Tesa, and she wandered, has the connotation of she strayed away from God. She went back to idolatry.
So is this the second time she was sent away?
Yes. Okay. So the first time she ran away. Now she.
Where is it? Did we read that somewhere? You
know, yeah, that was in Lech Lecha. That's what I was recapping
before. Okay.
Yeah.
Where was she supposed to go? I can't imagine he would just leave her in the desert. There must have been a place where Abraham thought it would be.
He just sent her away. You're right. You're right. Okay. Where was she supposed to go? What does it mean she wandered? What is she... What it sounds like she's...
If she sent somebody in the desert, you really mean to kill them. Because
just one
okay.
Of water, she's
okay.
At the bottom, the commentary.
Yeah, go ahead.
It tells you that that Abraham was actually involved, but he didn't come across.
Okay. Okay. Good. So we're going to talk about that. Okay. Let's just read some of the rest of the story here. Vayichu hamayim min hachemes. The water was used up from the flask. Vatashleich es hayelet, and she threw the child tachas achar asichim under one of the bushes. Vatelech, and she went vateshev la mineged, and she sat herself away. Harchek kimtacha vekeshes, as far as the shooting of an arrow. And that's how far away she was from the child, as far as you can shoot an arrow. Ki amra, for she said, Ale rebemos hayolet, I will not see when the child dies. Vateshev mineged, she sat further away. Vatisaes kola, and she raised her voice. Vatevk, and she cried. Vayishmael okim es kohanar, and Hashem heard this voice of the lad. Vayikro malach elokim al hagar min ha-shamayim, and an angel of God called out to Hagar from the heavens. Vayomel, and he said to her, Malach Hagar, what is it for you, Hagar? Al tiri, do not be afraid, ki shamayel okim al kohanar ba-asher husham, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is, in the place where he is, as he is. Notice it says that Hagar cried, but God heard the sound of the lad. Not the sound of Hagar, but the sound of the lad, the voice of the lad. Kumi siyas anar, get up and pick up the lad, v'hachaziki yesadeich bo, and hold your hands on him. Ki l'goy gadol asimenu, for to a great nation I will place him. V'yivkach Elokim et eineha, and God opened her eyes. V'tere be'er mayim, and she saw a well of water. Notice it does not say God made a well of water appear. It says God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. There was a well of water there the entire time, but she didn't see it, for God didn't want her to see it. And now that she deserved it, God opened her eyes, and she saw it. Vatelech, and she went, vatimaleh sachem es mayim, and she filled the flask with water, vatashk es hanar, and she gave the lad to drink. Vayihi alokim es hanar vayigdol, and God was with the lad, and he grew up. Vayeshev Bamidbar, and he dwelled in the wilderness. Vayirovek Hashas, and he was one who shot arrows. Vayeshev Bamidbar Paran, he dwelled in the wilderness of Paran. Matikachlo imo isham eretz Mitzrayim, and his mother took for him a wife from the land of Mitzrayim, which is where she, of course, came from. Hagar and Yishmael, Avraham and Sarah know that Hagar and Yishmael are not going to be perfect over here. They are aware, as we mentioned, that Yishmael is not going to be the perfect child that will fit into Hashem's plan with the Jewish people. They know that the original system that they had conceived, that Hagar would be like Bilhah and Zilpah are going to be later, that is no more. That can't happen. And Yishmael is not going to be Yitzchak. But nevertheless, Hagar is in Abraham's household. Yishmael is in Abraham's household, growing up in Abraham's household. Yishmael was growing up. When we keep saying here a lad or a child, we are not talking about a little kid. He is, after all, 14 years older than Yitzchak. He's 14 years older than Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the last we left him, he was weaned at 2 years old, which makes Yishmael at least 16. So here he's older than 16. So exactly how old he is, I'm not sure, but certainly older than 16. And he is basically a good boy. He's not evil. He's not demonstrating terrible behavior. He is a teenager, or maybe a little bit older than that, acting in a certain way. The verse tells us, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian that she had given birth to Abraham, mitzachek. Sarah saw it, Abraham didn't. Was Abraham a fool? Was Abraham naive? Did Abraham bury his head in the sand and just never notice what was going on in his own household? Of course not. But Sarah had insight that Abraham did not have. No doubt, it's partially the mother's instinct that she had. It's partially that. But Hashem himself tells Abraham that Sarah has greater nevuah, that she is greater in prophecy. Sarah discerns a subtle problem with Yishmael. She sees that he is mitzachek. So what? What's the big deal? The problem is, how will this affect Yitzchak? You see, as long as Yitzchak isn't on the scene, so Yishmael doesn't have to be perfect. He could be raised in Abraham's household, and obviously the influence of Abraham and Sarah is a great thing on Yishmael. But once Yitzchak is on the scene, and there is the danger of the influence of Yishmael on Yitzchak, then things need to be taken into consideration all over again. But moreover, our sages tell us, and Rashi cites it, we see from what Sarah told Abraham what it is that she had seen in Yishmael. It says, send away this maid and her son, for this son of this maid will not inherit with my son, with Yitzchak. You see, Yishmael knew what was at stake over here. Yishmael understood, as no one else did, that Abraham is the future of mankind. This is not simply who's going to inherit the wealth of Abraham, who's going to be the heir to Abraham's money. That's not simply what's at stake over here. But who's going to be the one through whom, the Bechor, the one through whom God's plan will flow. As we spoke about back in the time of Cain and Hevel and their fight, which resulted in murder, they were fighting not over some simple, like a plot of land or something like that. They were arguing over who was going to be the main person and family in the world. Which would be the Ikar, the main one, and who would be the Tafel, who would be secondary. That was what was going on over there, the power struggle over there. Similarly, when we saw that Cham caused his father not to have children anymore, that was a similar idea. He said, Adam only had two sons, Cain and Abel, and yet they, one murdered the other, because of what would be with the future of the world. And here, my father has three sons and he wants a fourth? Can't have that. Because what was at stake was the future of mankind. Nothing less than that was at stake. Yishmael understands over here that that is the issue. Abraham's legacy is the legacy of mankind. Abraham's legacy is God's presence in the world. And Yishmael wants to be the heir. Yishmael can't be the heir. Yishmael, his mother Hagar, by her actions, gave up the possibility of her son being on the inside track. He's not fully out of the picture, but he lost the right to be in the inner circle. But he's not willing to accept that. Here we see a recurring trait that was in his mother, the unwillingness to be secondary. And Yishmael, therefore, takes the issue up with Yitzchak. But Yishmael didn't do it in an overt way. You see, Yishmael would go out to the wilderness with Yitzchak. They would go out. The older half-brother, 14 years older, and the younger half-brother, the little one. And they would go out. And they would shoot arrows. And Yishmael's arrows had a tendency to come pretty close to Yitzchak. And when that would happen, Yishmael would say, oh, I'm just playing. It was just a joke. It's just sport. That's all that's happening. He was a mitzachek. He was mocking. Sarah picked up on it, and Abraham did not.
I know he had no ego. But it must have meant something that he actually fathered this child. It had to be hard to believe for him.
Of course.
To think that his son...
Oh, so we'll get... That's the next verse. But if Abraham didn't pick up on it, you can be sure none of us would have either. It was a very subtle behavior that Sarah has zeroed in on, which is why the next verse, as Mrs. Wittenberg is pointing out, the next verse, where Abraham, it says, it narrates to us, that Vayera Hadavra Ma'od Bene Abraham al Dospano. The matter was very bad in the eyes of Abraham on the matter of his son. Our sages tell us two things. Abraham, it was bad to send Yishmael away. He didn't want to send Yishmael away, and he was distressed over the fact that Yishmael was acting in this way. Abraham accepted Sarah's assessment. Abraham didn't see it, but he accepted Sarah's assessment. Now he's distressed. He wasn't distressed before about Yishmael's behavior because it was such a subtle behavior, it escaped Abraham's notice. He knows, to answer your question, Mrs. Woodbury, he knows that Yishmael is not going to be perfect, as we discussed before. He knows that Hagar gave up that possibility by running away, but he also wants the best for Yishmael. And this distresses him that Yishmael is now displaying negative behavior. And he's accepted it, but he doesn't want to send him away. And this goes back to the age-old question. What does one do with a child, a student, an influence that is negative? What does one do? Does one keep the person there in the hopes that the positive influences that there are in the home or in the school or in the institution will help? Or does one say, no, this person is damaging to the rest of the family, school, institution, whatever, fill in the blank. And therefore, although it hurts this one person, but this one person cannot stay, for it damages everybody else. Abraham was not, it says it was bad in his eyes. He was not ready to send Yishmael away, despite Sarah's assessment, which Abraham accepted, but he was not ready to send Yishmael away. He was hoping to keep him in the home and thereby influence him.
That was Abraham's nature, anyway.
Okay.
But
it was Sarah's nature as well. See, it was Sarah's nature as well.
Right.
But Hashem appears to Abraham and says that do not let it be bad in your eyes on the lad and on your maid. Everything Sarah tells you, listen to her. So Hashem says to Abraham, listen to Sarah. But here's the key phrase. Listen to Sarah. Ki v'yitzchaki karei lecha zara. For in Yitzchak it will be called for you seed. What is that? What is Hashem pointing out to Abraham over here? What do you mean for in Yitzchak? What does that have to do with anything? Abraham knew that Yitzchak was going to be the ikar, the main one. And Yishmael is only couple, is only secondary. The issue over here was that Yishmael was trying to assert himself and was arguing over who was going to be the main one. Why does Hashem say to Abraham, for in Yitzchak, you will be called for you seed? And then the next verse, V'gamesh ben ha'amal l'zayasimenu, and also the son of the maid, for a nation I will place him, ki zarachahu, for he is your seed. You just told me that in Yitzchak will be called for you seed. But now Yishmael is also your seed, so you will also become a great nation. What is the issue here? What is at stake?
Basically, anything good will come from Abraham. We see men are fixers. That's why he wanted to keep them there.
Okay.
Sometimes you just think.
You know,
could Abraham like both of them the same way? Did he have? Did he maybe consider Ishmael as being?
Abraham loved them both.
Right.
Yes, Abraham did love them both.
And so maybe there was a little bit of a question.
But you know what?
Yeah. Go ahead.
When Hagar came back to Abraham and Sarah, and she became her servant. So why angel in the very beginning said, you call back, but your son will be different. When she came back and she submitted herself to Sarah, why it didn't change the situation like Bilga is?
Because once she ran away, she already had shown that she's not going to be fully
subservient. But she came back.
She did come back, but apparently it was never back to the way it used to be. But once she ran away, she already put a wedge between herself and being a maid. And even though over here you see she's constantly referred to as a maid. She's a maid. That's all she is. She's a maid. But nevertheless, she's is not going to be back to the same. That seems to have been a one-time chance, which she lost. That's what it seems. She did some good to give to Teshuvah, and we will see later that Hagar at the end of Abraham's life, we will see that Hagar is considered to be righteous. She wasn't an evil woman, but at the same time, she gave up a golden opportunity. To say that Abraham was biased because of his love for Yishmael is putting the cart before the horse. Abraham loved when he intellectually decided that this is the person he would love. Abraham was not subject to the frailties that we're subject to, that we love and then we justify why we love. Abraham first considered whether this person deserved his love and then loved that person. And so it would be a leap to say that it was some sort of a bias. But let me show you, let's turn back to some verses which we read at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Hold the place on 96 because we're going to go back to that in a minute. But turn back to page 76.
If God puts Isaac before Ishmael and telling Abraham, that they're both your seed.
That's correct.
But that would be more important.
Okay, so let's look at these verses. Look at 74, the bottom of 74. Hashem has just informed Abraham that he is to rename his wife Sarai and call her Sarah, and Hashem will bless her and give to Abraham a son through her. And Abraham was overcome with joy that he would have a son at 100 years old, and Sarah would have a son at 90 years old. Then, in verse 18, Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer Abraham el Ha'elokim, Abraham said to God, Lu Yishmael yechel lefonecha. Oh, that Yishmael should live before you. Vayomer Elokim. Funny answer over here. Avol Sarah ishtecha yoledes techabein. In truth, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to you a son. V'karasa es shemo Yitzchak. You will name him Yitzchak. V'akimotiyas b'risi itoldi b'risolam. And I will establish my covenant with him for a covenant forever, lezaro acharav, for his seed after him. U Yishmael shemanticha, and to Yishmael I have listened to you. Hinei beirachti oso, behold I have blessed him. V'yifreisi oso, and I have multiplied him. V'yirbeisi oso, b'mon ba'od, and I have increased him very much. Shnei masar nisim yolid, 12 leaders he will give birth to. U nisativ b'gai gadol, make him to a great nation. V'yifreisi al-kimet Yitzchak, and my covenant I will establish with Yitzchak. Ashateva v'chassara, that Sarah shall give birth for you, Laboid Hazeh, at this time, Bashanah HaCheres, in a different year. Now, is that a convoluted way of answering Abraham, or not? Abraham said to Hashem, Hashem informs Abraham, Sarah is going to give birth to a son, and I'm going to bless him. Abraham is overjoyed. Abraham says to Hashem, oh, that Yishmael shall live before you. So, first of all, isn't that a little funny? Hashem just told him, you're going to give birth to a son, I'm going to bless him. And then Yishmael, and then Abraham says, oh, that Yishmael should live before you. What's that got to do with anything? And then Hashem answers him almost like a slap in the face. Hashem says back to him, in truth, Sarah is going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Yitzchak. Like, don't forget, we're talking about Yitzchak over here. We're not talking about Yishmael. No. Oh, don't change subjects on me. And I'm going to establish my covenant with him, etc. Oh, and what you said about Yishmael, I listen to you. I'll make him a great nation, 12 tribes, he'll be good. Great nation. Oh, but Yitzchak, he's the one. Like, what is the exchange over here? Was Abraham not happy with Yitzchak? What about Yishmael? Hashem is telling him, no, Yitzchak, oh, okay, Yishmael too. Yitzchak, what's the exchange?
He wasn't comfortable with that.
Remember, Abraham...
Abraham
wants what Hashem wants.
Right.
Abraham does not assert himself over Hashem.
No, I don't mean
but it almost sounds like he does, though.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to show you. So look carefully at the verses here. Remember, Abraham knows that Yishmael is not the answer. He's not the ticket. He's not going to be the heir to the legacy of Abraham. That's known already. Known to Sarah, known to Abraham, known to Hagar, for that matter. It's known. But he's not worthless. He's not inconsequential. He's got some role to play. But nobody knows exactly what that role is. Hashem says to him, this is that moment that Abraham has been waiting for all these years. For 99 years he's been waiting for some indication that in fact his wife Sarah will bear him a son. And Hashem tells him it's going to happen. Finally, that magic nevuah, that magic prophecy that he gets, that he's going to have a son from Sarah. Wow. Abram says to Hashem, Lu Yishmael Yichel Afanecha, oh that Yishmael should live before you. Our sages say, he wasn't asking for life for Yishmael. Oh that Yishmael should live before you. Oh that Yishmael should be righteous. What can we do to preserve Yishmael's righteousness? That we shouldn't just write him off. I know he has a role to play. What is that role? How do I preserve Yishmael? You're giving me Yitzchak now, and I know Yitzchak is going to be my legacy. Yitzchak is going to be the Jewish people. Yishmael is not the Jewish people. But where does he fit? What do I do with him now? Oh, that Yishmael should live before you, God. And Hashem says back to him, Hashem doesn't ignore him. Hashem gives him the answer. You know what the answer is? Yitzchak. Yishmael's ticket to eternity is Yitzchak. That's the answer. Hashem says to him, in truth, Sarah, your wife, is going to give birth to you a son. You're going to call him Yitzchak. And I will establish my covenant with him for a covenant forever for his seed after him. And because of that, only Yishmael Shematicha, for Yishmael, I have listened to you. He may be rachmios, so I have blessed him, etc. Yitzchak is Yishmael's ticket to eternity. Yitzchak is your legacy, and Yishmael will have a role to play somehow within Yitzchak. In some way or some matter or other, it is through Yitzchak's success, that Yishmael will have some connection to eternity. Because when you connect yourself to the Jewish people, that is how you gain eternity. And here, that is what Yishmael will have. This is what Abraham and Sarah are struggling with. They know Yitzchak is the Ikar. He's the main one. Yishmael is Tafel. He is secondary. They know Yitzchak is the legacy. They know Yishmael is non-consequential. They understand that some way he is going to be connected to God through Yitzchak. There's no second track. It's not you have the Jewish people doing one thing and you have some tribe off in the in who knows where doing something else and they're also a connection. No. The only connection there is through the Jewish people. And they understand that Yishmael, his connection is going to be through the Jewish people. How? In what way? Sarah notices these negative traits. They're very, very subtle. But she notices them. She shares them with Abraham. They're so subtle, Abraham didn't see them. Abraham fully accepts Sarah's report. Now what? Sarah continues and says, my advice is, chase away Hagar and Yishmael. They'll have to find their way back to Yitzchak, but not growing up in this house, not anymore in this house. They'll have to be sent away and then claw their way back. After being sent away, they will have to demonstrate that they still belong in this household. That's the only way. He's going to have to work for his connection. It can't be served to him on a silver platter. For Yishmael to get that connection that Hashem was talking about back in Parshas Lech Lecha, he's going to have to show it from within. It cannot be handed to him from without. Abraham says, I think it should be done differently. I think it should be handed to him from without. Let's feed him, let's spoon feed him this connection. Let's keep him in the house, protect Yitzchak from Yishmael, but at the same time, connect Yishmael in a way that he can live up to that secondary role, whatever that role is. And Hashem appears to Abraham and says, listen to Sarah. She has it figured out. She's got the better idea. Not that Abraham's idea was crazy. It was a valid suggestion. But Hashem says to Abraham, Sarah has it figured out more. You see, Yishmael's connection is more tenuous than you think. you think Yishmael's connection is going to be a stronger connection, one in which he can still be in the house. Sarah is right. Yishmael does have a connection, but it's far less strong. It's much more tenuous, and he will have to work for it. And he will be sent out of your house with his mother Hagar, and then he will have to find his way back. And that is the only way. That is the only way. If you want to translate it into today's terms, they're not going to become connected by us going out and attempting to bring them close to God. That's not the way it works. They need to do it from within. It's got to come from them. Obviously, it's got to be because of our role, because we're the light unto the nations. We're the ones that show what it means to be connected to Hashem. And that's what we have to work on. That's our problem. When we fail to show the nations what it means to be connected to Hashem, that's our problem. And that's why we're in exile. But for Yishmael to reach his potential, his connection to Hashem, he needs to show it. He needs to come back. He needs to look at the Jewish people and say, that's where I want to be. And make it that he's connected to the Jewish people. That's where Yishmael can be better. Here, Hagar and Yishmael are sent away from the house. He's going to marry an Egyptian woman. He's not Jewish. He's going to marry an Egyptian woman. And he will grow there. And he will grow in the wilderness. And he's a hunter. He's a wanderer. He shoots arrows. Eventually, he will do teshuva. That we know. And we will show, here in this class, actually not too far off, we will show where we see that he did teshuva. And he will do teshuva before the Abraham's pass away. What's that?
Who are those?
We assume it's the Arabs. That's our assumption.
They want to join us by killing us now.
Right. So that they are currently acting in an evil way. And that is true. We're about to talk about that as well. If we have the time tonight, we'll touch on that as well. They are currently not living up to this connection to Hashem.
That's true.
What we spoke about a couple of months ago is that for all of the evil that they are perpetrating against us now, and for all of the bloodshed and all of the pain and suffering that we are going through at their hands now, we pointed out a couple of months ago that is but a drop in the bucket. That is but a faint, just a tiny amount compared to the pain and suffering and the bloodshed that we have suffered at the hands of Esav over the past 2,000 years. Esav is manifest in Western man, the Christian world, and we have suffered far, far, far more. The Christian world has far more Jewish blood on their hands, rivers and rivers and rivers of Jewish blood on their hands, compared to the Arab world. And although that currently we are in terrible straits with the Arab world, and Baruch Hashem and the Christian world were doing a lot better currently, but that is a very, very, very narrow view of history. If you look with a broader lens, it's incomparable. And Yishmael does have a greater connection to Hashem through the Jewish people than Esav does. And that is something which we don't know what history will bring. There is a potential there. I can't tell you what it is. I'm not a prophet. Nobody knows. And there's no question that they are acting evil now. And that will not go unpunished. It will be punished severely. But there is something there that is brought out by their ancestor Yishmael, who does do teshuva at the end of his life, or at the end of Abraham's life. Now, let's just follow the episode of being thrown out of the house. Before we run out of time tonight, let's just see if we can get a few points in over here.
So,
we are back on page 96. And so Abraham wakes up early in the morning. We're in verse 14, Pasuk Yud Dalid. And he takes bread, and he takes a flask of water, and he gives it to Hagar. He puts it on her shoulder, and the boy. And he sends her away. And she goes and she wanders in the wilderness. Was Abraham simply, essentially murdering her and her son, giving them too little to eat, too little to drink, let them walk off into the wilderness, into the desert, and die of thirst? We don't find that Abraham harbor that kind of evil. And we don't see later, in fact, that neither Hagar nor Yishmael have any ill will towards Abraham, as we will see later on. So what happens over here? Yishmael becomes terribly sick. He becomes sick with a fever. And that's why not only did Hagar carry the bread and the water, she actually carried Yishmael. Abraham did not change his mind because Yishmael got sick, because Hashem had appeared to Abraham and said, listen to Sarah, send them out of the house. So he sent them out of the house.
It could be several days later.
This was immediate. It says that he got up early in the morning. He listened to God. God said, send them out. He sent them out. You don't second guess God. God knew he was going to get sick. God understood that. God said, send them out of the house. So he did. Did Abraham act irresponsibly? They used up the water. Rashi tells us, because a sick person drinks more liquids. And so they ran out of water. But was Abraham acting irresponsibly? Of course not. There was a well.
Right.
It was there.
She
didn't see it. But there was a well. There was water. But Hashem didn't want her to see it. In fact, you know that if you lose something and you can't find it, there is a there's a prayer that you can say. All right.
I need it.
Some people need it daily. Some people don't. But you can. What the minhag is, the custom is, you take some money, and you designate it for tzedakah, and you say that hakol b'chezkas sumen, everybody is blind. Everybody is considered blind. Ad shakarish baruch hu meir etzeinehem, until Hashem lights up their eyes. Shenemar, as the verse says, and you have this verse over here, that Hashem opened her eyes and she saw the well of water. I believe that's the verse that we quote in that prayer. I don't remember if this is the verse. I believe this is the verse. Because you can't see, only the only reason why you can see is God, you can have something sitting right in front of you. My wife calls that male vision. You can have something sitting right in front of you and you don't see it, right? That's because you just don't see it. You missed it. You can go back in the room 50 times and you didn't see it, and you go back the 51st time and there it is. Right? What happened? It appeared out of nowhere? No, you just didn't notice it. You didn't notice it. She was there. The well was right in front of her. She didn't see it because God didn't want her to see it. And why did God not want her to see it? So what happened over here? So they run out of water. She takes the child and throws him underneath one of the bushes. And she goes away. And she says, I don't want to see when the child dies. And then she went further away and lifted up her voice and she cried. Here, many of the commentaries point out the essentially the cruelty, meaning that this is not the way of a Jewish mother. That although the child is dying, God forbid, what a terrible, terrible thing that a child was dying. He's not a child. I mean, he's at least 16, we said, probably a little bit older. But she's losing her son. She thinks he's going to die. And it's a very, very painful for her to see her son die. And so she puts him down and she goes away to preserve her own pain. She doesn't want to have the pain. Al Ereb Mosayolet. I don't want to see when the child dies, when the son dies. What of him? What about leaving him? What about his pain? Here she places her own pain over the pain of her son. And she cries. And God appears to her and says, or sends a malach, an angel appears to her and says, God heard the voice of the lad. Not her voice, but the voice of the lad. Her cry was a selfish cry. But Hashem hears the voice of the lad. And an angel of God appears, calls out to Hagar from the heavens and says to her, what's with you, Hagar? Al tiri, don't be afraid. Ki shama Elokim al kol nar ba'asher husham. God has heard the voice of the lad in the place where he is, in that which he is. Get up and pick up the lad, for I will put him into a nation. And she sees the well. Ba'asher husham, as he is. God heard the cry or the sound, the voice of the lad as he is. What does that mean, as he is? The angels in heaven said to God, how can you save Yishmael? We know the future. The future is going to bring that when the Jewish people are being taken into exile by Nebuchadnezzar of Babel of Babylonia, in chains, when they're being dragged to Babel, they're going to pass by the country of Yishmael, of where the Arabs are. They're going to pass by. And they're going to say to their captors, they're going to say, let us at least speak to our cousins, the Ishmaelim. And the captors will allow them to do that. They say, maybe our cousins, the Ishmaelim, will have mercy on us. And they will go. And the Jews then, this happened, the Jews went and they in their chains. And they went by and they said to the Ishmael, look, we're in such terrible straits. And the Ishmael said, oh, we'll help you out. And they brought them food to eat, salty foods.
Mm.
And then brought them out skins which ostensibly were full of water. Little skins that are full of water. But they weren't full of water. They were simply puffed with air. And when the Jews would take it and put it in their mouths, and apparently what you were supposed to do is break it with your teeth, and drink the water. That's how they did it. That's how they drank water in the wilderness. That's what they did. The air shot out into their bodies, causing them tremendous pain and ultimately a terrible death. And that's how the Ishmaelim treat the Jewish people when we are being taken into exile. And so the angels say to God, don't have mercy on him. Let him die. Why save him so that later on he can hurt the Jewish people? Why save him so that they can blow up people in the middle of a pizza shop in Israel? Why do that? Let him die so that they can capture Jewish soldiers and torture them. Why let him live? Let him die now before it all happens. That's what the angels were saying to Hashem. And Hashem said, I don't operate that way. I operate Ba'asher Hu Sham, as he is now. Right now, is he righteous or is he evil? He's righteous. If now he's righteous, now he's doing teshuva, then I listen. That's the way I operate. And I don't take into account the future. Everybody has free will. In the future, they're going to act evil, they're going to get their due. They'll get punished for it. And that's the way I operate. We read this on Rosh Hashanah. This passage is read on Rosh Hashanah because we are saying to Hashem, judge us on here and now. Don't judge us on the past. Right now, we want to be your subjects. Right now on Rosh Hashanah, we're thinking about being your subjects. We are doing teshuva. We want you as our king. We want nothing but to serve you. Judge us on that merit. Don't judge us on the past. Don't judge us on the future. Judge us on the here and now. And what I always add in my own mind, as this is being read, and judge the Arabs on the here and now. Don't judge them on the small event. Judge them on the here and now. And the here and now, they don't deserve to live. Judge them on the here and now. That's what Hashem told the angels, and so Yishmael was saved. Over here. Go ahead.
Hashem told Abraham what to do. Abraham did. So why was Hashem so surprised as to what is happening?
Who says Hashem is surprised?
I do.
That's the point. Hashem hid the well from Hagar so that this would happen. This lesson had to be brought out. And it had to be brought out here. And it had to be brought out with Yishmael. Because Yishmael represents this notion in a very great way. Because Yishmael has periods of his life where he has teshuvah, and where he is evil, and where he has teshuva. And as we said, his descendants, who are currently acting evil, without question, currently they deserve nothing but God's punishment, God's wrath, and that's what we hope God will do to save us from them. But we don't know what the future will bring with them. And there is some potential, and God judges on the here and now, Ba'asher Hu Sham. And a person can do teshuva, and God can deal with a person differently than he deserved before. And that is brought out over here with the story of Yishmael and Hagar. Hagar then picks up Yishmael, sees the well, God opens her eyes, she sees the well, she gets to drink, she fills the flask and gives him the drink, and then takes a wife for him in Egypt. And that is all we're going to hear about Yishmael up until the only other time we're going to mention Yishmael's name is going to be with the death of Avraham, when Yitzchak and Yishmael are going to bury Avraham. And then there'll be a short discussion of the Yishmael nation. That'll be at the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah. Other than that, he will not be mentioned by name, although
right.
he will be hinted to.
In the Akedah,
right, which we'll talk about, if not next week, the following week. And we will see that he is hinted to over there. Hagar also, she will not be mentioned again by name. But, what's that?
Keturah.
But she'll be called Keturah. She'll have another name later on. She will be mentioned but with a different name later on in the Chumash. Also in Parshas Chayei Sarah. Yeah, go ahead.
Two questions. Number one, I think I remember Rabbi Parnas talk about the fact that when Abraham sent Ishmael and Hagar away, the gifts that he gave them were like mystical gifts.
That's later on. That's not here. That's in Parshas Chayei Sarah. We'll talk about that when we get to that.
Oh, it's not now?
It's at the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah.
It's bread and water.
Yeah, here is his bread and water. Later on, we're going to see that you're right. Not Yishmael, but we'll see that there's mystical gifts he does give away.
Later?
Yeah, at the end of Chayei Sarah.
I forgot the other question.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.